You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Sportsmanship Day, Tony. Were you a good sport?
And Tony Kornheiser, except when I lost. And I always found, Mike, that sportsmanship was easier when I won. I was more generous when I won.
I don't remember you being a bad sport in softball 40 years ago, and I've never seen you throw a club, which
I cannot honestly say. No, don't throw clubs. Absolutely don't throw clubs. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Ja Morant has a huge night. The Washington Commanders need a quarterback and two impressive saves in hockey. But we begin today with the postponement of the start of the baseball season. Baseball owners presented what they called their final offer late this afternoon, and the Players Association has rejected it unanimously. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced just minutes ago that the league has canceled the first two series of the regular season. Wilbon, your reaction to all of this?
That's what I thought. I mean, I don't see why anybody would really be surprised. We've been talking about this since the end of last summer, certainly into fall, into the October Classic, about how these two sides, the history of it, where we thought they were now. We just had Jeff Passan on, you and I, right on our show last week. I mean, there didn't seem to be any reason for optimism. Optimism, Tony, was incredibly naive. And for those people who thought, well, maybe the sides have softened their positions against each other over the years. No. I mean, Jeff, who was plugged in as anybody covering the sport, said, no, the two sides still hate each other. So what were we going to see that was going to lead us to believe that the season would start on time? The only question now is, how long are we talking about? Are we talking about a season which is destroyed from the front instead of the back, like 1994 and then 1995 was from the front? Yeah. Is the season going to be destroyed, or are they going to get themselves together at a time where I don't believe the country has any stomach for this, pull themselves together, look beyond, outside of themselves, and say, fellas, we need to put a product out there. I don't think they're that smart. I don't think they're that instinctive. I don't think that they care that much about what the general public thinks. And I think we could be looking at a season that is destroyed. Maybe not entirely missed, but destroyed.
So I'm going to take the naive point of view, because I thought they were going to come to a deal, because they worked till 2:30 in the morning last night. And I figured what you'd be able to do is come back in the morning and they'd be close on a bunch of things. I spent a couple of hours today watching the MLB Network. And they would show the numbers and how far apart they were. And, Mike, honestly, it didn't seem that far apart that they couldn't meet in the middle. If they were 50 million apart, the thing about negotiations is both sides have to feel pain, both sides, to get to the middle somewhere. And I thought on everything other than the luxury tax, they were close enough that they could get this done. I dispute the notion that the players rejected it unanimously. You have to say that, Mike. You can't tell the other side that 40% of the people
half
think that they should
didn't
take
do
this.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I know you're more pessimistic than I am. I don't know that the entire season will be destroyed. I think it could still start by May 1st. You know, a long time ago, we learned the phrase, the answer to all your questions is money. And both sides have to come towards the middle, and apparently that did not happen this early, you know, because the owners probably don't care if they play in April. They probably don't.
Yeah, Tony, but you know what? Going to 2:30 last night, so what? If they'd gone to 2:30, you know, maybe going back to sometime in January, but of course, deadline pressure is all both sides seem to care about, and they're not particularly motivated until they face that deadline pressure. I'm curious now to see if people say, like they did coming into 1995, to hell with baseball for a while. And it took baseball years to recover. They had to get the home run race. They had to get Sosa and McGuire. They needed some sort of inner workings of baseball. They got lucky. I wonder what's going to happen now. Tony, the world is in a much different place, in a much more cynical place, in a much less tolerant place than it was in 1994, 95, right now, with COVID, with war, with things that people are good. I think people are going to say, you know what? We're sick of you both. Go away. We don't need you. But let's see if I'm being too hardline on that.
Well, I will just say this very briefly, very briefly.
Okay.
That's why they only canceled two series. That's why you don't cancel a month.
Yes, you want to see if they're motivated to get this done before that.
To get back into it. Yes.
That's the only move. Let's move to the NBA, where Ja Morant had a night to remember. The standout plays included a flying dunk over Jakob Poeltl, a twisting in-air catch-and-shoot buzzer beater off a baseball pass from Steven Adams. But when asked, Morant said the most memorable thing he did was score 52 in the win over the Spurs. Tone, was that it to you?
Ja Morant is a highlight film at the moment, and it is impossible to talk about Ja Morant without thinking about Zion Williamson, the only person who was drafted ahead of him 3 years ago. And he can't get on the floor, and Ja Morant elevates off the floor all the time, and he's a big-time star at this point. We talked the other day about DeMar DeRozan and his MVP qualifications because he had moved the Bulls. I mean, he's the main addition. The Bulls go from 31-41 to 39-23. But Memphis, last year, Morant moved them up to 38-34. They're now 43-20. The trajectory of that team is the trajectory of Ja Morant. To answer the question about the 52, it doesn't matter to me how many plays he made last night that they were great and there were many of them. Nothing he does this year, nothing he does maybe ever, will be as memorable as the block. Everybody knows when you say the block.
He got
12 feet up in the air and he got both hands on the ball. So if he thinks it's 52 because it's the most he's ever scored and the most ever in the 25-year franchise history of Vancouver and Memphis, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I am too, Tony. It wasn't anything he did last night. Perhaps I've already watched enough of Ja Morant. And I watch Ja Morant. I do that routinely because I want to see these things, and I see them. And so now I'm not going to say I'm over it because I'm going to watch again tomorrow whenever he plays again and see them. But to me, it's dragging Memphis. It's bolting Memphis into contention. Tony, they could catch Golden State and finish second in the West. It's the totality of his work, not the highlight film quality of it. You know, we've seen players every so often, whether it's Michael Jordan or Vince Carter or Dominique Wilkins or, you know, somebody passing the ball, Steve Nash at one point, Kobe, God knows, LeBron. It's that he is doing what a lot of those players did. He is moving his team, and his players, his teammates are in awe of him, and they perform at a higher level. That's what's called making your teammates better. I think all of that impresses me more.
Somebody has to tell me, and I'll get out because of the bell. Somebody has to tell me how so many college coaches could have missed on him just a few years ago, that he didn't get the larger offers.
Wow.
You know, I mean, good for him, what he's done with himself. John Keim of ESPN is reporting that the newly renamed Washington Commanders are in the market for a big-name quarterback. The big-name quarterbacks Keim names are Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson, all of whom have expressed discontent with where they are now. Keim says the Commanders will definitely pursue Rodgers and Wilson. Wilbon, can you see the Commanders, what a bad name that is, succeeding and getting one of them?
Tony, I feel about the Washington football franchise, by whatever name, the way I feel about the baseball negotiations. I don't believe a word coming out of there. And there's good reason not to believe a word. You and I, who've had 40 years of experience covering that franchise, haven't believed a word that's come out of there in the last 20 years, at least, right? Early 2000, right around then. We don't believe anything they say or do. Nothing. They have no legitimacy. They have no credibility. So I'm not paying any attention to whether they get a quarterback. Whatever quarterback they get, I don't believe in their mission. I don't believe in what they do. I don't believe in their front office or their ownership. I don't care what quarterback they get. They're not getting Aaron Rodgers because he's not stupid enough to go there. He's not. Deshaun Watson, I mean, how ironic and tone deaf would that be for that franchise? But they lead the league in tone deafness. I just see whatever they say, I just dismiss it. Get out.
Yeah. So if I had to sit here right now and pick who I think would be the starting quarterback for them next year, I would say Ryan Fitzpatrick because he played less than one quarter and they went and got him and they're still waiting for him. And maybe he'd be the right guy. Because I honestly, if Green Bay were to trade Aaron Rodgers to Washington, I don't even think he would report. I don't think he would see anything in that offense. Russell Wilson is intriguing in this regard. I'm pretty sure that he grew up in Richmond, which is like an hour and a half away from Washington. Yes. He may have been a fan when he was a kid, but I think big name quarterbacks would look at very little in Washington to attract them. Deshaun Watson is a non-starter. Congress is investigating the team for sexual misconduct. There's no way on earth they can bring in Deshaun Watson. So, you know, to me, I think the easiest path to the Super Bowl is the NFC. And I think Rodgers and Wilson, as veterans in the NFC, would understand that. But there are two teams out there that if you plugged in a good quarterback, they got a much better chance than Washington, even though both are in the AFC, and that would be Denver and Indianapolis. So, I mean, you know, it's nice for the Washington football team, which is what I'll continue to call them, to look around, but I don't think they're going to do this.
No great player with a brain in his head and leverage or smart agent or instincts would let himself, and I'm talking about now, you know, Rodgers and Wilson, they wouldn't come within 100 miles, literally, of playing for the Washington football team. Stop.
Well, they come within 100 miles because they could go to Baltimore, which is a much better franchise.
Okay, 40 miles. You're right.
Let's
Baltimore.
Go. And Philadelphia. It's within 100. Let's take a break. I used to make that drive to Penn. Coming up,
125.
The Heat were better than the Bulls last night. Are their playoff prospects also better?
And did Jonathan Quick or Austin Matthews make the better save last night? Toss-up is next. Philly's 120, right?
Yeah.
Two hours at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, not if you got a fast car. Not if you got a fast car. Then you're in there a little quicker. Right off the...
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, puts another coat of polish on his Emmys, three of them, and reattaches one to the hood of his car. All right, what's first?
Toss-up, better playoff prospects, the Bulls or the Heat?
The Heat. The Heat just beat the Bulls last night. The Heat held DeMar DeRozan to 18 points for the first time in what seems like about 6 weeks. The Heat are 3-0 against the Bulls this year. The Bulls' problem, Mike, as you well know, is they don't beat the good teams. They are 3-14 against the top five teams in each conference. They are 1-8 against teams with better records than they. So they're an illusion in the playoffs because if they beat the lesser teams, there are no lesser teams in the playoffs. Miami was in the finals 2 years ago. I think Miami has a real team, and it's a veteran team even though they're young because they've played together for 2 or 3 years now. So for me, the answer is the Heat.
Tony, for anybody, it's got to be the Heat. You know how much I'd like to answer the Bulls, but that's not the answer. I mean, I picked the Heat on the first night of the season, so I feel pretty good about that, even though I had to eat it last night. Look, Tone, the Bulls also, part of that record is their two best defensive players, Lonzo Ball and Caruso. They've been injured and out, and they can't beat anybody without the ball pressure that those two apply. They will get them back, I guess, in the next week or so. But by then, Tony, I mean, the die is cast. Miami has everything you need. You know, they can guard every position on the floor. They've got depth. Tyler Hero is back to playing the way he was in the bubble. The guts of this team has already been in the finals. So they're not having to come in off the street with guys they haven't even played with, Brooklyn, and play. They got a full team, and they know what they're doing, the leadership, the coaching. All of it is in place, so the answer is Miami.
Mike, if I didn't love the 76ers so much, I would love the Heat. But I like them better than the Bulls, obviously. Next.
Toss up. Who had the better save last night, Austin Matthews or Jonathan Quick?
So I think it's Austin Matthews. Because he's not a goalie, right? This is above his pay grade. This is not his position. The puck gets past the goalie. He sees it, reaches the stick out before it crosses the line, makes a tremendous, tremendous heads-up play. Now, Jonathan Quick's save is marvelous. It really is. He is a goalie, but he's got his back turned. I don't even know if he knew that there was a puck coming. He kicked out his leg.
Instinct,
and
baby.
He made
instinct.
The save. Yeah, and that's an instinct play, but it also has a certain feel of luck to me.
Yes.
He was not that good all night. Mike, he let in 5 goals and 19 shots, so they yanked him. This could have been 6 and 19, so I'll say Matthews.
Nah, it's Quick, because he didn't let that one in, even though he let a bunch of other things. Tony, we see all the time guys take a stick, usually defensemen, you know, not a leading the league in goals scored center, and they swipe the puck from the line. We see it all the time. Look, you're right. It's heads up. And it can save the game. It can save a playoff series. We've seen that. But goaltenders, the great ones, and Quick wasn't great last night. He hadn't been great lately, but he's been great in his career. Tony, when that spin comes and they get the puck with the back of an arm or the back of a leg, I find that spectacular. So I'm going to go with Quick instead of Matthews, who made a more heads-up play. He did, but he could see it. It was right in front of him. It wasn't nearly as difficult as the save Quick had to make to me.
Again, the element of luck for me plays with Quick more than it plays with Matthews, but we'll get out of here. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, a big game in the Big East tonight. Really? Does that conference still exist? Really?
Come on now. The Big East still exists. There's some teams in it you were
not very well
there. The Raptors beat the Nets by 36 last night. What's going to happen again tonight when they meet one more time in Toronto? No Kyrie. No Kyrie in Canada, even though it's a road game. Sorry, Kyrie. Stay home.
Providence and Villanova, I'll give you. But the Big East
has
tumbled.
Come on.
It has tumbled.
Well, everything's tumbled. The ACC has tumbled.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, Jamar Chase. When Cincinnati drafted Chase out of LSU with the 5th overall pick, critics said the Bengals should have drafted an offensive lineman to keep Joe Burrow from being killed. But Burrow was thrilled to get Chase, who was his number one target on the LSU national championship team. In 14 games that season, Chase caught 84 passes for 1,780 yards and 20 touchdowns. Chase averaged 21 yards per catch. Last year, his rookie year in the NFL, Chase made the Pro Bowl by catching 81 passes for 1,455 yards and 13 touchdowns. His average of 18 yards per catch was ranked 2nd in the NFL. Late in the regular season, when Cincinnati beat Kansas City, Chase caught 11 passes for 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. The 266 set an NFL rookie record for receiving yards in one game, and Chase's three touchdowns covered 72, 18, and 69 yards. There's this great photo, Mike, of Burrow's dad and Chase's dad smoking cigars when the Bengals made the Super Bowl.
Tony, you know, every year my son says to me, Dad, does that guy remind you of Jerry Rice? Dad, is that guy, that rookie, is he as good as Jerry Rice? In the company of Jerry Rice? And I just say, no, shut up. Until Ja'Marr Chase. And now I go, maybe, if you even think about putting him in that company, think of how great he must be.
Burrow and Chase could be something special if they stay healthy. Happy anniversary, Lenny Wilkins. On this day 26 years ago, Wilkins became the first NBA coach to reach 1,000 wins when his Atlanta Hawks beat Cleveland. When Wilkins retired after coaching 32 seasons with six different teams, he had 1,332 victories, the most in NBA history. Since then, Wilkins has been passed by Don Nelson and Greg Popovich. The rest of the top 10 are in order: Jerry Sloan, Pat Riley, George Karl, Phil Jackson, Larry Brown, Rick Adelman, and Doc Rivers. Wilkins coached Seattle, where he won the NBA championship in 1979, then Portland, Atlanta, Cleveland, Toronto, and the Knicks. Wilkins has coached the most NBA games, 2,487. He has the most losses, 1,155. Wilkins was a 9-time All-Star as a player, and he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame 3 different times as a player, a coach, and an assistant on the Dream Team. And yes, Wilbon, Lenny Wilkins is a native New Yorker, I-95.
How many ways can you go into the Hall of Fame? Is there another way? I mean, is there something left for Lenny Wilkins to go in the Hall of Fame? I mean, it's unbelievable. We'll talk about baseball lifers and people whose stories, you can't tell the story of the NBA without Lenny Wilkins. You really can't.
That's right. That's right. Happy trails to Andre Jordan. Jordan, another big name, mostly useless geezer on the Lakers, is now no longer on the Lakers. The Lakers waived the 33-year-old Jordan and are poised to sign DJ Augustine, who is even older at 34 than Jordan and has been scoring 5 points a game in Houston. Here is Jordan on display the other night for the Lakers, taking a couple of dribbles and throwing a pass some 15 feet over everybody's heads. Jordan was a bust for the Lakers, pulled from the rotation after starting the first 19 games. But he was very effective on defense for the Clippers 6 and 7 years ago. And that's when he made that State Farm commercial. Wearing a blonde mom wig, he exclaims, "All my rings are gone." And Chris Paul, your boy, chides him, saying, "You ain't got no rings." To that end, it is being reported the 76ers are interested in bringing Jordan to back up Joel Embiid. That's a team, as opposed to the Lakers, with a realistic ring opportunity.
Yeah, and they ain't got no size. And they better get some size, even if it's for 10 or 12 minutes a game. Embiid can't play all the minutes, and you can't have 6'5" people playing backup center or next to him. No,
that's
this
right.
is an important thing.
That's right.
DeAndre Jordan could still have some value to that team. I like him a lot. I hope it works out.
Clarifications: Rob Manfred said owners never use the word final offer, simply presented it as their best offer prior to the deadline. And it's 139 miles from D.C. to Philadelphia. I stand corrected, though I did drive fast. Quick to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
The Raptors beat the Nets in Brooklyn by 36. Is that significant?
Brooklyn's in trouble. I don't care. They're going to get Kevin Durant back. They're in trouble. Dak Prescott, here we go again, had surgery on his non-throwing shoulder last week. You concerned?
Too much Dak Prescott. Too much Cowboys. No, it's not his throwing shoulder. Come on. The Baylor women clinched at least a share of their 12th straight Big 12 title. Are you impressed?
Yeah, they did it under Nikki Collin. And you know, they've had a change of coaches, and they were still able to come through with this kind of season. That's a great credit to their players. The Canadiens try to go 6-0 under Martin St. Louis tonight in Winnipeg. You like their chances?
I do like their chances. You didn't mention Kim Mulkey. She called, totally turned around.
I was saving a shout-out. For Kim Mulkey,
last
and now
one.
You stole it. My
number 9 Providence
classmate.
At number 11 Villanova tonight. Who you got in that one? Only good Big
I got Villanova to win.
Good. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Dave Joseph in Kansas City, Kansas. How you doing?
Steal my Kim Mulkey credit line. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knucklehead. She just got LSU turned around. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, can't steal this line, Tony. Here's SportsCenter.